today all over the world. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is taking time out to pray for the cities of our world. And we have come here today to pray for our city, Kingston, and its metropolitan area, and by extension, the constituency of the East Jamaica Conference. I'd like to remind you that we need to pray for the city for several reasons, and I will seek to just enumerate a few of them. Today we are also told that 50% of the world's population can be found living in the cities, and approximately 200,000 people move from rural communities to urban communities each day. That is around 70 million per year and 130 persons per minute. They are moving into the cities and urban centers of our world. And as they move into the urban centers, and as the population in the cities and urban center grows, so too will be the violence and the crime. As they move into the city, so will be the problems that are accustomed to city living. We need to pray for our cities, but in a very special way, we need to pray for Kingston City. There is a beautiful story found in the latter part of the book of Mark. The story tells us that it was about the setting of the sun. Jesus was preaching and teaching all day, standing in a boat, and just as it was about to, as the sun was about to set, he asked his disciples to sail with him and let across on the other side of the lake. At the time when they were nearing crossing over, the Bible says a great storm with strong winds and waves started battering the little ship. It is quite noticeable, brothers and sisters, that just before the ship crossed over, all satanic fury was let loose, and the demons took over, and there were chaos at sea. Please note, they were just about to cross over when the satanic fury could be seen. I want you to listen to me very carefully today. Just before the church crosses over, just before the Advent church crosses over, just before the dawn of eternity, just before Jesus comes, this world will see satanic fury in all its form, whether it be sexual perversion, crime and violence, wickedness, killing, atrocities of all sorts, natural disasters. We are going to see them taking place just before the dawn of eternity and just before the church crosses over on the other side. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, don't succumb to the satanic fury that you will see. We are just about crossing over. It doesn't make sense to dabble in the satanic fury or the postmodern culture with all its sin and vices, because the church is getting ready to cross over on the other side. And the sad thing, brothers and sisters, when the church is getting ready to cross over at the dawn of our eternity, we find many Christians with a form of godliness, but they are denying the power of God. Have you seen the seven deadliest threats to humanity? Have you seen that documentary? The seven deadliest threats to humanity. They have gathered scientists all over the world. They say the best that this modern world can produce. And they tell us that we will soon see our last day on planet Earth, because life can't last much longer. Something is about to take place, brothers and sisters. I know what it will be. The Son of God, in all his glory, will come riding down on the flaming sky with chariots and with angels attending him. And he's coming for those who have settled their account with him, those who were not involved in the postmodern culture, those who did not succumb to the sins of this modern world, but those who were seeking day by day for the infilling of God's Holy Spirit. It's interesting to note, brothers and sisters, that after the disciples tried to extricate themselves from the peril of the possibility of a sinking ship, it was without any avail. These sea-hardened sailors and fishermen who have fought many storms before, they are experienced men on the sea. But this time, they could not help themselves. They were dumbstruck by the fierceness of the storm and the raging wind and the roaring sea. And when they tried everything, they remembered Jesus. Everything failed, they remembered Jesus. And they found him sleeping in a ship. But the story says he was sleeping near the helm, the pilot's place. When the storms are raging, whether it be personal storms or the storms of sin and vice in our world, when the storms are raging, remember Jesus is at the helm. And though it may seem that his eyes are closed, or even if his eyes are closed, his heart is not closed. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes it seems as if God is sleeping and he's unconcerned with our concerns and the troubles that we bear from time to time. But I want you to understand that the great God we serve never sleeps, never slumbers. God does not sleep nor slumber. We are not worshiping a sleeping God. We worship a God who is alive and well, brothers and sisters. And he never slumbers nor sleeps. Yeah, my brothers and sisters, God is a God who is seated on the throne, and the ship that has Christ in it cannot go under. It may be rough and it may be rocky, and the ship may be reeling, but the ship that has Christ in it cannot sink. And I say amen to that. The bush that has Christ in it, even though it is burning, it cannot be consumed. What a great God we serve. The Bible says when we walk through the fires, we will not what? Be burned. Why? Because of the power of Jesus. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, they said that they saw one that looks like the Son of Man standing in the fire with them. When you are going through your fires, when you go through your storms, Jesus will stand beside you. That's the reason why we must have faith and trust in Him, my brothers and my sisters. If it appears that Christ is sleeping in the storm, He is awakened by the prayers of His people. He is awakened by the sinner's plea. When you don't know what to do, fix your gaze on Jesus. And if you come to your wit's end, don't come to your faith's end. Keep your faith strong in Jesus. You see, brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that we serve a mighty God. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He spake and the winds and the waves and the seas obeyed Him. He spake and the sun, the moon and the stars came to attention. What a great God we serve. He formed cosmos out of chaos. This is a great God we serve. And God will do that for us. This great God is calling us to pray for the city of Kingston. The great and awesome God who says, "Peace be still," calls us to pray for Kingston City. And there are many passages of scripture in that will tell us that we ought to pray and that God will answer and that there is power in prayer. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it. If you have faith, you will receive it." John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." In James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, the Bible says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray for him, anointing him or her with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will do what? Save the sick. And if you have sins, you will be forgiven. Therefore, what? Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman has great power." Then in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord, because if the city prospers, you too will prosper." God loves Kingston City. God loves His church. God loves people. God loves you, and God loves me, and God wants to save Kingston City. And one of the ways to save Kingston City, brothers and sisters, is through the power of prayer. I'm going to share with you a story. It took place in 1904. Evan Roberts, a young man, only 26 years old, had been praying for 13 long years. He was praying that the Spirit of God would take full control of his life. He wanted to live only for the glory of God, and so he would pray sometimes in the wee hours of the night, praying for the young people in his local congregation, praying for the members of his church, praying for Wales and the city. The story tells us that one evening while they were at church, he gave his testimony about the years of prayer and how he has been praying for everyone. And the Spirit of the Lord came down on that little congregation, and 16 persons accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior from sin. This sparks a revival that began in this little church, and the flames of revival started throughout the country. And it is said that an estimated 100,000 persons were converted in 9 months. Why? Because of the power of prayer. But more than that, we are told, brothers and sisters, that as the revival spread throughout Wales, the crime rate dropped. And take note of that. The crime rate dropped. Prostitutes and drunkards and gamblers were transformed by the power of God. Men who used to curse and swear, and they were changed. We are told that taverns and pubs or bars, whatever name you may want to call it, were closed. As a matter of fact, the Prime Minister of England wrote, he says, at one particular time, one of the bars only received 9 cents. A sale for liquor because the taverns were closed. People were going to prayer meeting. Some of the taverns turned into prayer spots because the people were praying. We are told that political meetings and soccer matches were postponed because people were going to prayer meeting. Brothers and sisters, this is what we want to take place in Jamaica. And it will take place when the church begins to pray. I'm not talking about just calling a day of prayer for mission to the city. I mean praying, non-stop praying and agonizing and interceding because you want God to do something for your city. That's what we need to do. We must pray and pray for the city because more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Prayer, brothers and sisters, prayer, the power of prayer can transform Kingston City. I tell you, brothers and sisters, Paul and Silas prayed in the midst of a jailhouse. And an earthquake came and shook the foundation of the prison. As his chains fell off. And you know what happened. The jailer was saved. Peter prayed. The church prayed. And an angel of the Lord came, touched Peter and said to him, "Get up, put on your sandals." His chains fell off. Iron gates move of their own accord. Peter was rescued because God had for him mission to the city. The disciples prayed, brothers and sisters, and we are told after the disciples prayed, one sermon resulted in 3,000 men being transformed by the glory of God. So we must continue praying. Joshua prayed, and the sun stood still. The Patmos prophet prayed. He was placed in a drum of boiling oil, and he did not get burned. Elijah prayed, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. Elijah prayed again, and rain came. Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel and the fire from heaven came down. The church prayed and the angel of God listened and went into the prison and took Peter out. Hezekiah prayed, his life was extended. Anna prayed, and God gave her a child. Brothers and sisters, we must pray for Kingston City. In our homes, we must be praying. At church, we must be praying. Wherever we are, we must keep on praying, praying that something will take place. And as we pray, brothers and sisters, one of the things I am encouraging you to do is to recognize that we as a people must form centers of influence so that we can influence persons for Christ. Mention was made earlier about the Good Samaritan Inn. There are a number of persons who have been transformed because of the influence of those who work there and the fact that they are praying for these individuals and praying with them when they come and also sharing with them the love of Christ. But we need to have more centers of influence, not only in downtown, but in uptown areas, so we can influence that segment of the society. In the Good Samaritan Inn area, a certain section, a certain sect, or a certain category, sorry to use that word, of people may be influenced. But we need to have a center of influence in the uptown area. And as I said earlier this morning, this world is exciting, entertaining themselves to their own period. Exciting themselves, entertaining themselves to their own peril. So one of the things we could do is have a center of entertainment where we would have clean and good entertainment for people and at the same time influence them for Christ. Centers of influence. My brothers and sisters, we come here today to talk about the power of prayer. We come here today to tell you and to share with you the power of prayer. We want you to know that we have to pray for our mission to the city. And in closing, I'm going to tell you one more story about the power of prayer. Have you ever felt the urge to pray for somebody? When that urge comes upon you, please don't neglect the need to pray for that person. Some time ago, I read the following story of a missionary doctor who was in Africa. He was sharing the love of Christ wherever he goes. One evening, he came into a certain town and saw an injured young man, and he attended to him and went on his way. There were times as he moved from place to place that he had to camp overnight. And so he camped that night, and some of the friends of the young man who was injured followed him to rob him. But when they went to rob him, they saw 26 bodyguards at the campsite. And so they left him alone. And so as weeks after he came back to the town, and he was talking to the same man who was injured, who he attended to, or ministered to, and he said to him, "Some of my friends wanted to rob you, but when they came, they saw 26 bodyguards." And he said, "I don't have any bodyguards." So he laughed at it. But then he came to the local church and he was sharing the testimony of what took place. And while he was sharing the testimony, a gentleman put his hand up and said, "I want to say something." He said, I felt a strong urge to pray for you. And so we called a prayer meeting. And I want to ask the persons, the men who were here to stand, who were at that prayer meeting. And sure it was, 26 men stood. They were praying for him because they felt a strong urge to pray for this missionary. And God miraculously saved him by placing, we would have to conclude, 26 angels to protect the man so that he could continue the mission. I tell you something, brothers and sisters, we don't need to be afraid to tell the story of Jesus. We don't need to cringe to present the Advent message. We don't need to be afraid to tell people who we are, that we are Christian. We are Christian, and we are Christian men and women who believe in the power of prayer. Even if you're laughed at and you're mocked and you're scorned, that's no problem. You know what you know. Power is available from God through prayer. So keep on praying. What do you say? Keep on praying. And let us pray for Kingston City. It was said recently that there is need for divine intervention. And of a truth, that's the truth. Only divine intervention is going to help us now. And those of us who are Christians, those of us who know God, those of us who have a relationship with Jesus, I am asking you to pray. Pray for Kingston City. It can be transformed if we as Christians begin to pray and pray and pray. Night will turn into day. And the wickedness of Kingston City will diminish. The crime rate will go down. Violence will go down. Men who are involved in the atrocities that we see taking place in our country, they will be transformed because of the power of prayer. I thank God for the privilege that we can come to Him, creator of this vast universe, in prayer. And He bends low to listen to our prayers and to answer to them. Let us pray for Kingston City. Let us pray for the mission to the cities of our world. Let us pray, brothers and sisters, because Jesus is getting ready to come. May God bless you and keep you as we seek day by day to pray for City Kingston.